Welcome to the infamous podcast, Bitch, I'm Not Well. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Brandy.
And we're invested on taking you down to Crazy Town, where we talk about crazy bitches who are truly unwell.
Welcome back, Kelly.
Thank you, Brandy.
It's been a really long time since I've seen you.
I know. Way too long.
Yeah, like close to a month.
Yes. No way.
But like 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
That's close to a month.
My God. You're right.
If you leave me for that long again, I'm going to run away from home.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So sorry.
Oh, that's pretty.
Please accept my apology.
That's really nice. I might accept it. Let me think on this one.
It's Brenda Lee. You have to accept it.
Oh, fine.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll never do it again, though.
You better not.
I won't.
Shit'll get real if you do.
Well, shit gets real every day, so. But I'll never leave you.
So today for our story, I decided to do a Canadian crazy bitch.
Aye?
Because Canada and Australia are our two biggest listening groups after the U.S.
Woo!
And I wanted to honor them.
Woohoo! For honoring you with a cereal.
We're going to get you
from your country.
Yeah, we're getting you a crazy bitch from your neck of the woods.
Okay. You Canadians better calm down,
yep,
eh?
Yep. We're coming for you this week, Canada.
All right.
It's real, effed up.
Yeah. I'll do the little.
And yeah, you'll have to do that. You might have to do it a few times. I tried to take out those words, but
yeah, it's okay.
It was hard.
We'll figure it out.
I felt really fooled by this person as I was.
Really?
Yeah. I was
just reading
studying
it?
And I'm like, man, this dude's freaking amazing. And then I got to the meat of it and I was like, what the.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's disappointing when you're studying a man and you get to his meat and potatoes and you're like, what the f-?
It was pointed a little to the left and I was like, oh, no, this ain't gonna work out for
me.
We
knew you were crooked.
Yes, we knew it. You could just tell by the picture that is at the end of this episode. You're gonna be able to see it.
Yeah, it's crooked, his meat and potatoes?
Oh, no, but it's a really good picture of him.
Oh, okay.
He's showing his best angles.
Mm, cannot wait.
No.
Are we going to show that to our viewers? Is that going to be his?
That is going to be his cover photo.
Cover photo. Okay.
And just from looking at it, I would want to watch it.
Mm. Nope.
Or listen to
it. I'm dying now.
Yes. Okay. All right. So we're going to go over the interesting case of David Russell Williams.
Okay.
I'm going to call him Russell for this episode because that's what he went by. Based on all the articles I found.
All right.
He was born on March 7th, 1963 in Bromsgrove, Worcestershire.
Worcestershire?
Worcestershire?
Worcestershire. Worcestershire.
Yeah, that one. England. If he wasn't such a terrible human being, I'd be really jealous of the fact that he was born in England.
Same.
His mother was Christine Noni and his father was Cedric David Williams.
Cedric Williams?
Yes.
Time out. There's a Cedric Williams.
Yeah. Russell's daddy.
Like somebody else famous. They probably didn't commit murders.
Good, because the first six paragraphs that I wrote, I was calling this dude Russell Wilson, which I think is a football player.
Oh, no, it is Cedric Williams. Yeah, he's an actor, entertainer.
Later in Russell's life, his family would immigrate and relocate to Canada. They would eventually begin their new lives in Chalk River, Ontario. Once the family settled down in Chalk River, the Williams family met and became close friends with the Savaka family. They may have gotten a little too close.
Uh-oh.
Because when Russell was six, his parents divorced.
Mm-mm.
And not too long after that, his mother married Jerry Savaka.
I knew it!
Close family friend.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. Can't get those family friends too close.
Mm-mm.
Russell would go on to change his last name to his stepfather's last name and went by Russell Savaka for a while.
Oh, nice.
He did eventually change it back to Williams. Russell, his mother, and stepfather moved again to Scarborough, Ontario. And during his time in Scarborough, he attended high school at Toronto's Birchmount Collegiate.
Nice.
In 1979, Russell's family moved to South Korea. Isn't that a random...
Yeah.
Actually, I think his father was working in South Korea, too.
Well, they probably worked at the same place.
Yeah, they were both, like, nuclear scientists, and they're both geniuses.
Oh, my God. I wonder if they all took the same airplane.
That'd be really awkward. Like, it was a two-seater and sitting next to each other, and Mother and Russell were in the row behind him. Mm-hmm. That would have been real awkward. Ew. I wonder how long of a flight that is.
Oh, it's long, I bet.
Probably. Russell's stepfather was a scientist that worked on nuclear reactor projects. While his family was living in South Korea, Russell attended boarding school at Toronto's Upper Canada College. In 1982, Russell was in his final year at school and was elected as one of the two prefects for his boarding school.
Okay, so they all moved, his whole family moved to South Korea and he stayed behind.
Yes.
And went, okay.
And went to, he continued his education in Canada.
Got it.
In 1987, after graduating from the University of Toronto with an economics and political science degree, Russell joined the Canadian Forces. Mm-hmm. Russell was regarded as a model military man over the course of his 23-year career.
Damn.
Yeah. He received his flying wings in 1990 and was posted to Canadian Forces Flying Training School based at CFB Portage, La Prairie, Manitoba, where he served 2 years as an instructor. Russell was promoted to captain on January 1st. Yeah, I mean, this dude's like moving up. In 1991, and later in 91, June 1st to be exact, Russell married Mary Elizabeth Harriman, who was an associate director of the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Canada.
Okay.
He just knew all these smart people.
Right.
I'm going to go through his successful military career briefly so you can get an understanding of how big a deal this guy was in the military.
Okay.
And that just makes what he did even more shocking.
Shock and awe. Here we come.
It's like Jekyll and Hyde.
Oh, dang.
In 1992, he was posted to 434 Combat Support Squadron at CFB Shearwater, Nova Scotia. Mm-hmm. While posted here, he flew the CC-144 Challenger in the electronic warfare and coastal patrol role.
Dang.
In 94, Russell was posted to the 412 Transport Squadron in Ottawa, where he transported VIPs, including high-ranking government officials and foreign dignitaries.
Okay.
In 1999, Russell was promoted to major and was posted...
Whoa.
Yeah. He was posted
That's only 8 years after he was captain.
Yeah. Like, dang. He was, like, really flying up this ladder. He mm-hmm. must have been very good at
Exemplary.
What he did. Yes.
Yeah.
In November 1999, Russell was promoted to major and was posted to Director General Military Careers in Ottawa, where he served as the multi-engine pilot career manager.
Okay.
In 2004, he obtained a Master of Defense Studies from the Royal Military College of Canada with a 55-page thesis that supported preemptive war in Iraq.
Hmm.
And in June 2004, he was promoted to Lieutenant Colonel. And on July 19th, 2004, he was appointed commanding officer of 437 Transport Squadron at CFB Trenton, Ontario. And he held this position for 2 years.
Dang.
Yeah. This guy is like a very well...
Moving on up.
No military man.
To the east side.
From December 2005 until May 2006, Russell also served as the commanding officer of Camp Mirage, a secretive logistics facility believed to be located at Al Manad Air Base in Dubai.
Whoa.
Yes.
He was the real deal.
Yeah. He was like top security clearance. Like, he did a real good job at hiding who he really was.
Mm.
On July 21st, 2006, Russell was posted to the Directorate of Air Requirements. In this position, he served as project director for the Airlift Capability Project's Strategic and Fixed Wing Search and Rescue.
My God, that's a mouthful.
Yes, I was about to say, that's a mouthful right there. And there was no abbreviation, so I'm assuming anytime you tell somebody where you work, you have to say that entire sentence.
And what is your job title, sir?
Well, I am the janitor for Airlift Capability Project Strategic and Fixed Wing Search and Rescue.
Oh, that's impressive. Thank you.
Thank
You're
you.
Hired.
I've got a lot of experience under my belt.
Here's your F-27. Go fly.
Oh, yes.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I don't either. See, sounds cool. During this time, he was working under Lieutenant General Angus Watts. Russell and his wife also moved to Orleans, a suburb of Ottawa, in July 2006.
Okay, wait. So I thought he was in Dubai. He's in Dubai?
He's in Dubai, then he comes back.
Okay.
Yeah, he was in Dubai until May of 2006.
Okay.
And then he comes back and they're in Ottawa.
All right.
In January 2009, he was posted to the Canadian Forces Language School in Gatineau, Quebec, for a six-month period of French language training, during which he was promoted to colonel by recommendation of now-retired Lieutenant General Angus Watt.
Wow!
On July 15, 2009, Russell was sworn in as the wing commander at Canadian Forces Base Trenton by the outgoing wing commander, Brigadier General Mike Hood.
I just can't even...
Yeah, like, this guy is perfect on paper. Like, this is the ideal person. You would look up to him. You would want to be like him when you grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Russell has been described as an elite pilot and a shining bright star of the military. This crazy asshole was really good at living a double life.
Oh my God.
Didn't expect that.
I wasn't expecting that. Just like I'm not going to expect what he did. Okay. That's good. So
he had everyone fooled into believing he was an upstanding husband, citizen, and highly regarded military leader.
You got me fooled.
Yeah. See, I was fooled.
Yeah.
When we get to the next paragraph, you're going to be like, what the? Are we still talking about the same person?
I'm ready.
Okay. He flew Queen Elizabeth II and the Duke of Edinburgh, really jealous of this. He also flew the Governor General of Canada, the Prime Minister of Canada, and many additional dignitaries from across Canada. And he flew overseas Canadian Forces VIP aircraft. He was pretty snazzy.
Pretty snazzy. I've got to say it.
Dang. All righty. Now, enough of how great this guy was.
Okay.
Let's dive into his true self.
I'm ready.
Russell and his wife often spent time at a cottage they owned on Cozy Cove Lane, which is just the cutest
name. That sounds amazing.
It really does. I was reading it. I'm like, oh, that's so cute. I want to live on Cozy Cove. Yeah. Well, now that he's not there anymore, I want to live on Cozy Cove.
Okay.
This is in the village of Tweed, Ontario, and it's about 53 kilometers from Trenton.
Even the town name is like Tweed.
Tweed. It's cute. It reminds me of like a little jacket.
Cozy Cove on Tweed.
Does it sound like, I don't know, a fairy tale?
Mm-hmm.
On the night of September 8th and into the early morning of September 9th, 2007, Russell broke into one of his neighbor's cottages while the family was away on holiday. Once inside the cottage, he had a photo shoot of himself in the young girl that lived there's underwear.
Excuse me?
Yeah. He broke into her house and put on her underwear and then took pictures of himself.
Why?
I really don't know.
Prior to this moment?
Yeah. Like, there's nothing prior to this moment. Like, everything was normal. And then he does this. Like, what is he doing? He's sitting there watching Saturday Night Live. And he's like, this is really a good one. I'm going to go break into the neighbor's house and see what's up.
Okay. I'm very confused.
Okay.
Frankenbeans in the panties. It's time to go. It's time to go.
Time to go. Got to go. Oh, no. After the photo shoot, he must have thought that he was drop dead gorgeous in Barney panties because he then stole some of her underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't know if it was Barney underwear, but just thinking about a grown man doing that to a child's private garments.
How old was the child, did they say?
Disgusting.
How, like?
It doesn't say. It just says she was a young girl.
Okay. So she could have been a teenager.
Yeah, she could have been a teenager, but I would think if it was a teenager, like early teens. Russell really enjoyed himself at his first break-in, so he decided that would be his new hobby. He filled out like dating website forms or anything like that for his hobbies and interests, it would be watching the sunset, reading, flying, and walking on the beach in children's underwear.
And if you can't do that, Then swipe right.
Yep, we're not meant for each other. Sorry. In the months that followed the initial break-in, Russell broke into several other homes in Tweed and the Belleville area.
I can't imagine these people that live in this, probably a small community. I don't know how big Tweed is.
It's a small community.
It sounds like it would be small. Did nobody ever, I don't know, keep going. Keep going.
And I guess there was so many, unless there were underwear or bras that I really liked, I probably wouldn't realize if I was missing some, or I'd assume that maybe the strap messed up or something and I threw it away.
Or the sock monster.
Yeah. In the months that followed the initial break-in, Russell broke into several other homes in Tweed and the Belleville area. In early May 2008, a rash of similar crimes occurred in the vicinity of Russell's home in Orleans.
Oh.
Russell victimized families whose members included girls or young women. He would enter the residence at night when the occupants were away. In some cases, he visited the homes several times if he really liked their collection of underwear.
Oh.
And if he liked how the panties fit, he was going back to your house.
If the panties fit, he must revisit.
Exactly. If only he knew that he could not be a creeper and just order panties and bras online and have them shipped discreetly to his home.
Yeah.
We would never have to discuss this guy. It's fine. If you want to wear bras and panties, that's great.
Breaking into people's houses.
Don't break into people's house and wear their stuff.
Ugh.
Especially little kids.
Mm-mm.
Do what you want in your own home, but
wonder
don't.
If he had a song on his iPod that for his catwalk.
I bet it was the thong song.
And where do your beans and Franks go in a thong?
Oh, that's a good question. I watched RuPaul's Drag Race, and Trinity the Tuck gives a lot of really good examples of how to do it.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Okay. She's my favorite. And you know that I think it's the French guy that did the high jump thing.
Mm-hmm. And
thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Olympics people, we know what we're talking about.
Yeah. So Trinity posted on Instagram, let me know if you need help with that.
Yeah, he didn't have Frank and beans. He had meat and potatoes.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a joke at first. I heard it on the radio and I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. And I saw the clip and I was like, what?
He should have taken some lessons on how to tuck that. And he would have gotten a medal.
It reminds me of dodgeball whenever the guy takes the little pump and he pumps up his workout outfit.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, there was no.
No.
Mm-mm. It was all meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
Taking that bar down. He took that pole down.
He took it down.
He took it down hard. I'm so sorry. But you know, you put yourself out there. I mean.
We think you did a really good job.
Yeah.
We're very sorry that happened to you.
But I watched it 500
times.
Yeah,
I did too. I was no way. How did you lose the Olympics? You're not going to believe this shit. Or as Mike would say, can't make this shit up.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Russell victimized families whose members included girls or young women, entering residences at night when the occupants were away. In some cases, he visited homes several times. I guess he really liked how those panties fit.
Size 2T.
If only he knew that he could have not been a creeper and just ordered female underwear online. And
if only this smart man knew.
I know, right? I feel like nobody told him. It's okay if you order panties and they're yours and you have them shipped to your house or your cottage.
Skins, Victoria's Secret.
Yeah, shit. You
Walmart.
Can even go in store in Victoria's Secret and try them on. You don't have, you don't have to break into people's homes and steal their panties.
Panty thief.
This kind of reminds me of the areas around here. Russell said that sometimes breaking into people's houses were as easy as walking into unlocked doors.
Well, that's how it used to be.
Yep.
Not anymore.
Yeah, no, mine's always locked.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
Hence doing this podcast.
Right. Since we started this, it's been
worse.
Telling your children, all right, now I want you to watch it whenever you turn the corner because somebody could be pouncing on you at any moment, hiding behind a trash can. in the trash can. You don't know.
You don't know. It could happen.
Somebody could be crouching in a ditch. You just don't know.
I told the boys, I was like, look, if anybody ever grabs you, don't scream help, scream fire, or scream Satan has domain over my soul. I was like, either one of those would get me to go, what the hell is going on? Who is this? Throw holy water at him.
It'll get attention.
If people's doors weren't unlocked, then Russell gained entry by cutting a screen, forcing a window open, or picking a lock.
Ballsy.
Yeah. And I would assume these are like neighborhoods, so I'd be so nervous people would see me like creeping through their yards or right down the road, walking down the sidewalk. But mm-mm. Yeah. During the break-in and robberies, Russell took photographs of female undergarments spread out on a bed and of himself wearing bras and panties.
I wonder if he saved these images so he could go back and get the ones he liked. Like, maybe. Was he shopping for himself?
Maybe so. And he was like, man, I didn't grab those orange ones. They looked really good. My ass looked really good in those orange
ones.
Next
time.
I'm going to go back.
Next time, I'm getting the orangies.
Like, honey, I'm inviting the Smiths out to dinner tonight. Can you meet them? And I probably won't show up, but you can just meet them. I have something really important to do, not in their home with their underwear. When he finally left, he would take underwear as trophies. Mm-hmm. In 82 documented burglaries. Now, these are just the ones that we know about because there's quite a few that didn't even realize their homes had been broken into.
But 82 reported?
82 reported. Williams stole around 1,400 pieces of underwear.
That's a lot for only 82.
Yes. And most of these items were underwear and lingerie.
I mean, some people only have one or two pieces of lingerie.
Yeah, I would definitely know.
Yeah.
Like, that's most people's lingerie is expensive, or it's, like you said, there's not a lot of them. You would notice that your white corset is gone.
Yeah, and I don't have, like, wads of underwear just in my in my drawer.
Like, the third time he came in, all right, like, look, where's my underwear going? I had 12 pairs of panties in here. I have one. Mm-hmm. And they got a hole. Where are my underwear?
Well, you got your period panties and you got your good panties.
That's probably why he didn't take these.
He left all my period panties.
Damn it.
He took all my period
panties. Damn it, Russell. Like, this is a really serious question. How the hell did he hide that many pairs of panties?
From his wife.
And pictures from his wife.
I don't know.
Like, I mean, it's like a freaking storage room full.
I don't know.
Like, honey, don't go into my office. Like, you open up the drawer and like fling out. There's so many stuffed in there.
Well, being as he was a colonel in the army, I'm sure he had like a locked drawer somewhere, like a desk maybe.
That's a lot of few locked drawers.
That's a lot of panties.
That is.
1,000 pieces. Well, just the lingerie.
Oh, yeah. Lingerie by itself can be big.
It takes up a lot of room.
Yeah. He would have to have like a locked room or a locked closet.
Mm-hmm. My God.
I don't know where you would hide it.
A chest.
Yeah.
A keepsake chest.
At the foot of
their
bed.
a keepsake chest.
It smells like cedar whenever you open it, and like the wife wants to put her great, great, great grandma's handmade quilt in there. And he's like,
no, that's my space.
That's really creepy.
Kind of freaked me out there.
None of the homes burglarized in Tweed were ever reported to the police.
What? Come on, Tweed.
Yep. So that was where he started his...
Maybe he was more careful. They didn't even
maybe
know.
Maybe so. Maybe it's a smaller area, so he was, like, super careful, didn't take a bunch of underwear, mm-hmm. maybe just, like, one or two pieces from each house.
The further he branched out, the ballsier he got,
yes.
The bigger his Frank and Beans got.
Well, then the bigger the underwear
guy
would have to get.
No, they were just hanging out the sides.
We're just going to split the difference.
They were BBs anyway. They're just peanuts.
I'm guessing that most of the homes in Tweed or the places that were never reported that they had been burglarized had unlocked doors that he got mm-hmm. into without any type of forced entry or unlocked windows.
Right.
And so if he only took a couple pair of underwear or whatever, they would have never known anybody was in their bedroom or
True.
In their home.
True. So he never took any boys' underwear, like underoos or...
No, he really liked the girls.
Okay.
Which... Dude, be yourself. If you want to wear girl panties, it's fine. Just make sure they're
your
panties, not someone else's.
I can't even get underwear at Goodwill. Like that.
Oh, yeah, no. I don't
know. Why? What? Why would you want to put your Franken beans in used panties?
Well, he does.
But why?
I don't know.
I just don't understand.
I wonder if he'd want to talk to us. Mr. Russell. What do you get out of used panties?
Were they wearing used panties? Like, or photographing used panties?
Did they fit you? Or did you like how tight they were? Because, like, child's panties, that'd be, like,
we could maybe put one leg in.
Yeah, get like your whole butt crack will be hanging out and be like a
knot. That's what he liked about
thong.
It. So,
I like the low rider underwear. It's like where my low rider jeans.
He's like, they make me feel like I had a BBL.
I wonder if he wore them under his military uniform.
Oh, I hope he did.
Me too. God, that would be great.
I
wonder if
they
have pictures
girls.
Of that.
Powderpuff Girls.
Powderpuff Girls. And have a little training bra.
Damn, how would he get that on his chest?
Oh, I don't know.
Can't be.
No, he couldn't have hooked it. He'd have to go take the mom's bra and the kid's panties. There's no way he would be able to. It would be really funny if he had a training
bra. He's like,
bra.
I got 10 extensions from Amazon for $2.95. I worked that bitch. I covered my nipples.
I wonder if he ever got stuck in it.
Panic attack! Panic attack!
Could you imagine?
Oh, my older brother, got stuck in a wetsuit. He had a full-on panic attack. It was bad. He got in the shower and everything, like soap and water, trying to get it off. He couldn't get the zipper was stuck in the back, and he couldn't get it. He was like, I just laid down and curled up like a baby and cried.
I was thinking.
Until his wife got home and she let him out.
That would have been so funny if she'd been like, honey, I'm working a double shift. I'll be very late.
He'd have been like, oh my God. Calling me probably. I need help. He was so hot in it, he almost passed out.
I could see Russell, like, hyperventilating and passing out in the underwear. You walk in, and he's in the kid's underwear in your living room.
What?
Like, what's wrong with you? Like, poke him with your toe.
Why? Just why?
Those red panties are not your color, dude. You need to try something different.
They make you look pale. They wash you out.
Need some sun. Shit.
Were they cotton, satin? Did he have a preference?
Oh, I don't know. I did not find that anywhere. I would like to know. I bet
Son
he liked the
bitch.
Satin ones. Oh, what if he likes lacy ones?
Lacy, I bet.
I bet. That's what I'm going to go with. He likes
texture.
Lace.
We just made it formal.
Yes. You can take note of this. It's yes. documented that we
If you
think...
were trying to imagine it in your mind, this is what it is. Lace.
Lace. Boy cut. Cheekies.
Cheekies.
Yes.
All right, resume the story.
All right. So, some weren't aware at the time that their homes had been violated or hadn't noticed anything missing.
Scary.
However, 15 of the 25 Orleans families whose homes were broken into reported the crimes to the Ottawa Police Department. Undercover officers were posted to watch Wilkie Drive, but they were unable to catch him at that time. I really
wish
that was Wilkie.
We have a panty thief on Wilkie Drive.
On Little Wilkie Drive.
All units, be on the lookout.
Be looking for a man in panties.
He's a colonel for the Canadian
He's got
military.
All his badges on. With panties. You should notice a colonel running down the road with no pants on.
Yeah. He answers to Russ.
Oh, God. Y'all, we're so sorry. This episode is just killing me. Like, it's hilarious.
It is funny.
It does get darker.
Oh,
but
shit.
This first part's really funny.
Okay. Oh, well.
Okay, you don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're the bad one.
Oh,
yeah, I am the bad one.
Because you do know.
I do know about it, and I'm still laughing.
Well, this is
Damn
pretty
it.
Funny.
Yeah.
I'm going to say. Colonel Russell Powderpuff. I wonder what his code name was.
I don't know. Circle Jerk.
Oh! Oh, the panty man.
The panty man.
The panty man can.
Bill Panty Sniffer.
Who can steal your panties? Sprinkle them with goo.
Oh, God.
Make your life so miserable that you will hate him too. The panty man. The panty man can. The panty man takes the thongs that hold your cake still in panties in the hood.
That's really good. Did you think of that off the top of your head?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a sickness, really, not a talent.
You should trademark that.
Oh, okay.
Right. Detective Sergeant Jim Van Allen, a criminal profiler with the Ontario Provincial Police, OPP for short, assessed the information on the Orleans break-ins and determined, as the intruder continued to evade detection, he was becoming more aggressive.
Oh, snap.
In one home, he left a taunting message on the computer.
No.
In another, police found semen on a photograph of a woman.
Oh, no.
Can you freaking imagine? What is this sticky shit on my picture? Oh, my God.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm like...
Smelly. How do you know it's semen? I mean, I guess they tested it, but as a picture holder, like when you're holding you're holding the print.
I'm like, what the hell is this?
And you see goo.
I would think...
Did you have a toast and strudel over here?
I definitely wouldn't think semen. It's a really good question. I don't know how. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to ask Detective Van Allen. Mm. So Van Allen concluded that the prowler posed an increasing danger for a hands-on sexual assault.
Oof.
And this is really scary that law enforcement knew what was happening. They knew the burglar was beginning to take more risk and up his level of creepiness.
Mm-hmm.
But they still had no clue who he was. And even having officers staked out on the roads to watch for an intruder, there's no way that they'd have enough officers on every road to watch every house.
Yeah.
So it's
Well, they had no idea that they were hunting such a high-ranked officer.
Yeah.
With the skills that he needed to...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was not...
Be the chameleon he was.
Yeah, like whenever they say, this is what you're looking for...
Profile?
Yes. I'm almost positive he would not have met anything in this profile. He was like the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Or at least he made people think he was the exact opposite.
Correct. He was a chameleon.
He was. As Van Allen had warned, the dangerous nature of the crimes escalated. Two women in Tweed were attacked in September 2009. The first victim, we will refer to her as Missy, but her real name has been protected by a publication ban, was attacked and raped on the 17th.
Oh, my God.
And Lori Muscotti was attacked and raped on the 30th.
What?
Yeah. Both women were asleep when Williams broke in.
Oh, what a pig.
Both were bound and blindfolded, assaulted, and forced to pose nude for photographs.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Like, this dude is a sick son of a bitch. I just got
goosebumps. Now, that's...
Yeah, like...
This turned a whole different level.
Yeah, like, it increased quite a bit. You went from just skipping around in people's underwear to brutally raping and beating two women within 14 days of each other.
Oh,
and where did he tell his wife he was when he was doing this? Was he drugging her so she'd sleep all night? Or did he say, hey, I have the night shift at the military base?
Who knows?
No telling. Mm-mm. In both cases, the victims called the police, but only after the Muscotti. I'm going to call her Lori. I don't know how to say her last name.
Muscotti.
That looks right. Attack did the police force advise the public. Yeah. So
what?
They waited for two women to be raped before they told anybody, hey, the guy that's been going around stealing all your panties and putting semen on your pictures has now raped two women.
Oh, wow. I guess they were hoping he would go away.
Yeah. I mean, I understand you don't want to raise an unnecessary panic.
No, but an alert would be nice.
Yeah. At this point, they know that this man has broken into at least 25 homes.
Wow. That should have been on the news somewhere.
They know his behavior is escalating, and they had to know after the first victim that it was more than likely the same person.
So she reported it right after?
Yes.
And then they did nothing.
They did nothing.
And then the second one was 14 days later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Once they decided to alert the public, constables went door to door in search of information that might lead them to the prowler locals called the Tweed Creeper.
Mm-hmm.
On the night of November 23rd, 2009, in Brighton, a town just west of Trenton, Russell broke into the home of Corporal Marie-France Como, who was under his command at CSB Trenton.
Up. I wonder if this was a coincidence.
I think he targeted her. I think he wanted her and... yeah, I really think that he did this one on purpose. Like, he knew who lived here, and he raped her and killed her on purpose.
What?
Yeah.
He killed her?
Yep. Como put up a fight and was struck in the head several times with a flashlight.
Oh, my God.
I really wish she would have beaten his ass. That would have been so great. She would have, like, thrown him down and hog-tied him.
I hope
and then
she
just
got
left
a couple
him there.
In.
Yeah. Over the next 2 hours, Williams repeatedly raped Como, beating her viciously if she resisted.
Oh, and, my God. For 2 hours?
And he recorded it all with video and photographs. Yeah, this dude is a sick
Brandy.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, my God.
In my opinion, it makes it even worse that he is a very high up, well-respected authority figure in the military, mm-hmm. and no one even suspected him of mm-hmm. being the Tweed mm-hmm. Creeper.
Mm-mm.
Williams asphyxiated Como by wrapping her face with duct tape. He wrapped her body in a duvet and left it in her bedroom, where it lay undiscovered for more than 30 hours.
Oh, poor baby.
While police searched Como's house for clues following the discovery, Russell sent personal condolences to her father.
Shut.
Yeah. Yeah, he has some
Jekyll
freaking
Hyde.
Nerve reaching out to her father to send his condolences.
Oh, my God.
I'm wondering if he killed her not just because she fought back, but because she could recognize his voice. Like, if at some point during the attack, if she was like, Russell? Colonel Williams? Like,
mm-hmm.
if they worked closely together, I mean, mm-hmm. that could have, like, wait a minute, I know you.
Wow.
Either way, it's really bad.
So, yeah, I mean, if it wasn't a coincidence, then he probably went in there with the intention to kill her, too.
Yeah, he probably did. He knew he was going to come out, and she was not.
Mm-hmm.
Russell's next victim was Jessica Lloyd. He broke into her house on Highway 37 near Belleville, Ontario, at about 1 a.m. on January 29th and mm-hmm. found Lloyd asleep. Williams raped her and made her pose for photographs. Then Williams took Lloyd to his silver-colored 2001 Nissan Pathfinder parked in a nearby field and drove her to his cottage. Lloyd's ordeal continued until about 8:15 p.m., when Williams cracked her skull with a flashlight and strangled her with a piece of rope.
Oh.
He tortured her for almost 24 hours.
Oh, my God.
And he captured it all on video.
Why? I mean, nobody knows why, I'm sure.
Williams hid her body in the garage.
Oh.
Yep. He just gets worse and worse.
Okay.
On the night of February 2nd, in the early hours of February 3rd, Russell dumped Lloyd's body in the woods near Tweed. Lloyd was reported missing when she didn't show up for work and wasn't at home, though her car was there. Police responded quickly. Investigators from the OPP and the Belleville Police Department suspected that the sexual assaults in Tweed, the Como murder, and Lloyd's disappearance were connected.
Mm-hmm.
A massive search was launched. It included personnel and search and rescue aircraft from CFB Trenton, authorized by Colonel Russell Williams.
What?
Oh.
What?
He was in charge of the search and rescue done by the military.
Well, when he failed to produce.
Yep. Despite the efforts of the police and hundreds of volunteers, after a week of searching, no trace of Lloyd had been found. However, witnesses reported seeing a silver-colored SUV parked in a field near Lloyd's house on the night of her disappearance. Yep. Police found tire tracks, whose distinctive tread narrowed the range of potential suspect vehicles to a few, including the Nissan Pathfinder. On the evening of February 4th, Russell was stopped at an OPP checkpoint on Highway 37. While they were appearing to be looking for drunk drivers, officers asked occupants of vehicles questions pertinent to the search for Lloyd, and they examined their tires.
Oh, Colonel Powderpuff.
Yep.
You going down. I feel like it.
Russell said he was in a hurry because he had a sick child at home.
Oh, please.
During the brief roadside interrogation, officers saw the tread of Russell's tires matched those found in the field. From that moment, Russell was under police surveillance.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Suspicion mounted when police realized that Russell had lied about the sick child. I mean, this is really easy to verify.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was just getting sloppy at this point. Mm-hmm. Or he just didn't... he was stupid. Like, why? I don't know.
Maybe he wanted to get caught.
Maybe so. Obviously, this panty sniffer did not have nerves of steel. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. He did not have nerves of steel. And on the afternoon of February 7th, Russell went to the Ottawa Police Headquarters at the request of OPP Detective Sergeant Jim Smith, who said he had a few loose ends to tie up. Once Williams was in the interrogation room, Smith confronted him with questions for which he had no satisfactory answers.
Mm-mm.
Moreover, Williams was wearing the boots he'd worn the night of Lloyd's disappearance, which were matched to footprints found in the snow outside of her house.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I really think he thought he was unstoppable.
He must have.
Normally, people would throw away any clothes and shoes that were involved in a crime, but not Colonel Panty Sniffer here. He's all cocky, walking up in there. Mm-hmm. He probably had a pair of stolen underwear on.
Oh, he was probably wearing like 3 or 4 pairs.
Probably so.
In case he shat his pants.
Which he probably did. I hope he did.
I hope he did,
too. And I hope they didn't let him change.
Mm-mm.
While the interview was in progress, officers with search warrants were going through the cottage in Tweed and through Williams' Ottawa home in the presence of his shocked wife.
I suppose.
Yeah, can you imagine? Smith periodically left the interrogation room to get updates from the search teams, which provided him with more damning facts. Williams finally gave up all pretense of innocence. Smith asked, "All right, so where is Lloyd?" Russell replied, "You got a map?"
Oh, God. What a pig.
Yeah. The searches of Russell's property turned up his camera, a duffel bag containing a black skull cap, a manual for lock picking, and boxes and pillowcases stuffed with underwear and lingerie.
Well, there you go.
I can just picture him showing up at somebody's house and pulling the lock picking manual out of his back pocket and like crouching down. Page 7, lick his fingers. Stick key in lock, okay? Oh, God, where's my flashlight? Put it in my mouth, look down. Like,
yeah.
Fucking manual on lock picking in your go bag? Like, okay, dude, whatever. Mm-hmm. He's a real professional. He wanted to make sure everything was done correctly.
Except he didn't.
He did not. He sucks. Thank God.
Yeah.
He
should have got a manual on where to hide a body.
Yeah. And how not to be a creep and a panty sniffer.
How not
to be a panty sniffer. I don't know. Or just
how not to be a panty sniffer for dummies.
I think Jeeves was still around at this time. You could have asked Jeeves, where can I buy panties?
Oh,
I bet he could have gone on eBay and bought used panties on eBay.
Oh, he
could have. I mean, he did. I don't know if he did or not. But instead of robbing people and murdering and raping them, you could still be at home walking around and use underwear right now. Okay,
it's too far.
Hidden in the basement ceiling of the Ottawa house were two computer hard drives containing expertly concealed records of Russell's activities as a sexual predator over a 2-year period.
Wow.
Video clips and nearly 3,000 photographs included depictions of the Tweed assaults and the murders of Como and Lloyd. They were also detailed accounts of his break-ins and a meticulously compiled inventory of all the items he had stolen.
Seriously?
Yep.
He kept inventory?
He kept inventory and records. He could tell you exactly what he had, where it came from, how long he's had it. News of Russell's arrest and his bizarre double life stunned everyone who knew him and shocked the public.
Mm-hmm. I'm shocked.
I bet his poor wife was mind blown.
Like, sure.
You would never expect that you're living with someone like that. Mm-mm. And obviously, he's real good at hiding it because nobody. Yeah. He was on nobody's radar if he wouldn't have driven
Nobody
up.
Thought he was a creeper. Usually, a creeper has some level of creepiness about him, right?
Yeah, like they make you uncomfortable or yeah. it's like, are you hiding
or
something
they say
from
things
me?
Or act a certain way or do something like off color, you know?
And that's just something like throws up a red flag. And it's just a gut feeling. Like you don't know what it is, but there's something about him that you feel like you should keep your distance from.
Right.
But he had none of those.
Oh, that's scary.
In court in Belleville on February 8th, Russell was charged with murder, sexual assault, and forcible confinement. Mm. He would later be charged with numerous counts of break and enter. He spent the next 8 months in the Quint Detention Center in Napanee, from which he made several court appearances via video link. Hmm. Because Russell pleaded guilty to all charges, he was not put on trial.
That's a shame.
Yeah. During Easter weekend in April 2010, guards prevented Williams from choking to death on a cardboard toilet paper tube he had shoved down his throat.
Why? Yeah. Why? Just if he wants to go.
Yeah.
Let it go. Let him go. Like, don't hold him back anymore.
Yeah, don't use people's, like, free people's money to feed and clothe him and house him for the next 25 years.
Seriously, why? I mean, why save his life?
Yeah, I have no idea.
That may come across as really, I don't know, horrible for me to say. But, I mean, he killed two people and raped two others and...
Yeah, and violated hundreds of people. Yeah, their privacy, their homes.
Right? If he's trying to kill himself, let him go.
Yeah. I just, ugh. Everything about him is ugh. He was subsequently kept under 24-hour watch. On October 22nd, 2010, Williams was sentenced to 2 terms of life imprisonment with no possibility of parole for 25 years. He was also registered as a sex offender. His Nissan Pathfinder and his hoard of stolen garments were all destroyed. Russell was stripped of rank and dismissed from the Canadian forces. Mm-hmm. His uniform was burned.
Damn.
And his decorations were destroyed.
Wow.
Which I think is great. Like,
absolutely.
I'm happy that they made a point of destroying his uniforms and awards because after all he did, he didn't deserve them.
Absolutely not. He may have deserved them as he was obtaining them, but then whatever the little switch was flipped.
Yeah, like that 2 years ago, whatever happened to make you a creep, like you lost everything.
Could he have had such a normal life up until that point? Because it seems like all these events were really close together.
Yeah, they were all within 2 years of each other. Like, it's like he just started that time he broke into his neighbor's house when they were out and he stole the kids' panties until he was caught was like right at 2 years.
Like, how do you hide that monster for that long?
I don't know.
I'd be interested to know if something happened.
I know, because I tried to look back to see if there was anything about him before this. Because, like, whenever his family moved to South Korea... In some documents, it sounded like he moved there with them, but then turned around and moved right back for school.
Hmm.
And it was like, did he do something there to be sent away from his family to be back at school? Is he at boarding school to protect other people? Like, what happened? Something happened.
Like a head injury?
No. Harriman, Russell's ex-wife, who claimed to have known nothing about her husband's crimes, began divorce proceedings. Russell is now incarcerated in the maximum security prison at Port Cartier, Quebec?
Cartier?
In the wake of the criminal conviction, 2 multi-million-dollar civil lawsuits were filed against Williams and Harriman, one by Missy and the other by the family of Jessica Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
And they were settled with undisclosed financial payments in 2014. A third lawsuit filed by Lori Muscotti targeted not only Williams and Harriman, but also the Ontario Provincial Police, which Muscotti accused of failing to warn Tweed residents about a predator in their town and for suggesting that she had made a false copycat claim when she reported her assault to police.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That is...
That's awful.
Like, when I read that, I was like, what? Mm-mm. Do not. Mm-mm. Fucking copycat. You knew. Y'all all knew what was going on. You really think that she would ruin her life like that for 2 seconds of fame? No. Nobody. No. You should have listened to her.
What fame? Because there was no... I mean...
Yeah, if you would have listened, you would have been like...
There was nothing out there for her to think that, oh, I can become infamous for this.
Yeah, like...
It takes so much for a woman to go to the police and say, hey, I was raped.
Yeah.
Like, for her to be dismissed like that.
You have 82 documented burglaries with someone stealing panties and putting their semen on pictures. Ugh. You have one woman raped. Then 13 days later, you have a second woman raped that you don't believe. 2 months after that, you have a murder. And then 2 months after that, there's another murder. Mm-hmm. If they would have listened to this woman, they maybe could have stopped the two murders. They could have looked and mm-hmm. believed her before this.
Mm-hmm. Mm, what a shame.
Yeah, well... She settled out of court with Lori and the OPP in 2015. Mm-hmm. And as of 2016, her lawsuit against Williams and Harriman was still active. And I didn't really see anything about the closing of it.
Oh, dear. Oh.
And there is Colonel Russell Williams.
He fit a bra on.
Yeah.
Wow. What a sick fuck.
Yeah, this...
That's a whole bitch, I'm not well.
Yeah, this is like crazy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Canada, for giving us one of our craziest people.
Our wildest. Yeah.
Ugh. I was going to say, unfortunately, it didn't have a happy ending, but I don't think any of our stories have happy endings.
No, they really don't.
Damn.
No. And we've got plenty of crazy Canada, so don't think we're picking on you.
Yeah.
We're trying to give you some in your area so you can be like, yay, they mentioned Canada. Yes. But then is it really yay? It's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Huh. That's true. I didn't think about it that way. Sorry, Canada.
Sorry.
Australia, have a really good one for y'all next time.
Coming at you. Coming at you hard. You're going to love it.
Yes.
All right.
Well, this has been another episode of Bitches Who Are Unwell. Bye. We appreciate you listening to our podcast. If you liked it, please give us a good rating. You can listen on your favorite podcast platform with new releases every Friday. Just search for Bitch I'm Not Well. Send us suggestions for an episode at b.tchimnotwell@gmail.com. Because Gmail won't let us use bitch. Or visit our website at www.bitchimnotwell.com for more podcasts and our fabulous merchandise.
We'll see you next week on another podcast about another crazy bitch who is truly
unwell.